Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
1-1 pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez in toward the corner. Get out, Bob. Get out. Get out of here. Get out.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
Well, we warned you about those two star pitchers, didn't we? Didn't we, Scott? Didn't we warn them?
Warning. That's what we said.
Did we warn them about Benintendi or Travis Shaw?
That's right. The mixer is here with me. It's back and better than ever. Might have to break that out a few times during the show, during the dog days of August, just to keep things alive.
Oh, yeah. This is a dog of a day, no question. And Scott is loopy Scott White here on a Monday night, 11:22 p.m. Eastern. And we are looking at these games. Like, I'm going to be real with the audience here, Scott. You know I have that. Oh, this is Adam, by the way. Chris Welsh will be back tomorrow to host this show. But I'm filling in for him. He's going to be on three times a week going forward. So he'll be on the next 3 days of this week. So, Scott, I'm going to be real with the audience. I think they appreciate my honesty. I have a splitting headache. I feel like crap. I need to go to sleep. So we're not going to do a super long show today.
The high-pitched Travis Shaw may have done you in. That may have split it wide open.
Maybe actually feel a little bit better, to be honest with you. So here we go. Who are some Monday standouts? Scott White.
Oh, the Monday standouts. Well, I mean, where to begin? Trevor Bauer was the opposite of last time out, which was the opposite of the previous time out, which I'm sure is getting really frustrating, but it probably is an indication you should just start Trevor Bauer and not try to overanalyze it too much. I mean, he was awesome. 11 strikeouts in 7 innings. That's what he did 2 starts ago, too. But yeah, the other two with the Reds have been disastrous. The ERA is over 4 for the year. We talk about this, you know.
Yeah. I mean, look, I put him like a 5 or something on the worryometer last time we talked about him. And you were like, no, I'm not worried. And it's just, for me, it's not like worried. It was just worried that he's going to keep having bad starts, and I'm still worried about that. But it was nice to see him get through 7 innings with 11 strikeouts on only like 106 pitches. You know, with Cleveland, that would have been 126 pitches. So that was nice and efficient. It was a great start, and no matter how worried I am, like Scott said, no matter how worried I am about Trevor Bauer, I'm starting him because this is what he's capable of, and he's still a top 25 pitcher. Going into today, Bauer was 22nd in points, 25th in Roto. And he'll be top 20 after. He took the loss, unfortunately, so the fantasy points won't be great. But great start for Trevor Bauer for sure. On the other hand, Brendan McKay is my standout. And I can't do it. I can't trust him anymore. I mean, this weekend at Baltimore, if they let him make the start at Baltimore this weekend, because he's been terrible lately, am I going to trust Brendan McKay? He does not have a quality start since his major league debut when he flirted with a perfect game. He had like a perfect game through 6 innings or something like that against Texas. I think he only had 3 strikeouts in the game. And look, he just hasn't been very good. He has a 5.55 ERA. And I said it last time we talked about McKay, I think. I don't know. There's something there. He doesn't look like that stud pitcher that you'd expect from the pedigree and the minor league numbers. It's just one man's opinion.
I don't know that his the thing that really stood out for him in the minors was just how many strikes he threw, how much he avoided walks. The stuff obviously played up against lower competition, so he's able to get a lot of strikeouts too. I'm not sure what the upside looks like in terms of strikeouts in the long run. I mean, obviously Aaron Nola, that's an example of a guy who I feel like, we were thinking of him as more of a control guy than a bat misser, and he eventually became the bat misser. So I think it's still too early to make any sweeping proclamations about McKay, but more in the short term, more with the focus on this year, 9 walks now in 6 innings over his past 2 starts. I mean, that's clearly not in character. And McKay is at 27 and 2/3 innings more than he's ever thrown before.
Right. It's a great point. It's a good point.
So, I mean, we may not see him make another start. Hopefully he does, because I'm sure some people activate him for 2 starts. The second, this was Seattle, so it should have gone better. The second was Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was a no-brainer this week. You know, I think that's why I'm so disappointed. Those matchups, just, I thought it was a no-brainer for Brendan McKay.
Yeah, but he doesn't have much left, I don't think. We're not going to see him in September, or at least I would be surprised if we do.
Well, we might not see Corey Kluber either. We're going to update you on that. Chris Sale, obviously, big injury. Any other standouts? You want to get to some other stuff?
I mean, Francisco Mejia, he homered. And he was starting for the 9th time in 12 games. One of those starts was at DH, but still, it looks like he's taking over as the primary backstop in San Diego. 444 with 4 home runs this month and not many strikeouts. So he may be coming into his own finally. If you still need catcher help, he's out there.
Catcher's been an interesting position. You know, you get like hot streaks from Danny Jansen, Francisco Mejia. I don't know how many people in a 12-team league hate their catcher. There's been enough on the waiver wire where, you know, you plug in Roberto Perez or James McCann, you're probably doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one catcher, that's the thing about catcher, is it can go from very thin to an abundance in one catcher leagues quickly, because nobody's using those guys anywhere but a catcher.
Right, right, right. All right, well, catcher sucks. So, okay, moving on. Today's sponsor is ZipRecruiter. Actually, before we tell you about ZipRecruiter, let's look at the in-progress scoreboard. Some of the games have not completed yet. All right, let's see what we got, Scott. We got a 7-7 game in the bottom of the, what? That's the Angels-Rangers game.
Mm-hmm.
What's the score there? 7-7.
So much for that.
Right, yeah. I was watching this game, Peters versus Allard, and I think both guys, I can't find the game because I'm already on it. You know, both guys, like, they're kind of interesting, but they both had bad starts, and you don't need to own them. I think the theme of today, Scott, was like almost every 2-start pitcher that you could have gotten excited. We didn't get excited about, but fantasy owners did, based on the most added list. Mm-hmm. They got rocked for the most part. Peters, 4 runs in 4 innings, 5 runs, 4 earned, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts. Allard, this guy, we were not recommending him. He was more deep leagues, but 6 earned runs in 5 innings. I don't think we're expecting much from them rest of season. Scott has not been buying into Dylan Peters. Good for him. And if you listen to him, you wouldn't have started him this week.
Yep. Ivan Nova, yep, exactly, actually, you know, survived against the Twins, but it wasn't pretty.
No, but he's probably going to get the win, so it's going to end up being like 10 fantasy points.
Right. 2 earned runs, 10 hits, and 5 and a third innings.
And 2 strikeouts is a crap start.
Yeah. Which, I mean, other than keeping the hits down, nothing had really changed for him in that 5-start stretch where, I mean, he throws so many strikes that when he's not giving up base runners, of course he's going to go deep into the game. You know, we've seen stretches like this throughout his career where he looks like an asset in fantasy, but in the long run, there's just not, the stuff just isn't good enough. He just doesn't miss enough bats. And this could have been much worse.
It could have been, for sure. He's got another start this week against, who is it, Texas? Let's see, Ivan Nova. I think it's Texas, yeah, this weekend. So I guess, you know, if you're lucky enough to get the win, that game, again, not over, but it's Texas for Nova. Maybe he won't bury you this week. Like I was afraid he would. Luis Arraez, the second baseman, he led off today. So he's hitting very well, and that's nice to see as we look at that game in progress. Colorado, Arizona is in the top of the 7th. It's 2-1 Arizona here. And Josh Rojas did not start this game. And let me just see if they had a lefty on the mound. I don't think so, but it's been a while since I've checked the handedness of Chichi Gonzalez. He is a righty. So that's disappointing that Rojas didn't start. He is in the game, though, or he pinch hit at least. But Zach Gallen had an interesting start, Scott. 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 8 strikeouts. Terrific, terrific. Great stuff against Colorado. Yeah. Six walks.
And the walks have been kind of discouraging throughout his time in the majors because he had a very low walk rate at AAA. I don't know where this is coming from. Obviously, career's just beginning, and you know, players shouldn't be expected to perform at their very best from the get-go. And he's done a lot of good things. He's probably pretty close to must-own because he's, you know, pitched decently overall, but the walks are disappointing and are kind of holding him back from being everything I think he could be.
Yeah, Zach Gallen has a 2.45 ERA right now. That is pretty good. Ketel Marte with his 26th home run in this game. And one more game that was... Oh, no. Houston-Detroit went final. Okay. So Houston with a 5-4 win over Detroit. And we had Wade Miley give up 10 hits, but he did strike out 8. Thought he might have a better start. Did not get you a quality start. But, of course, he did not give up more than 3 earned runs because that's what Wade Miley does every time. 3 earned runs or less, basically.
I like how you're giving score updates to this recorded podcast that's not being consumed live anywhere.
Well, I need people to know that, you know, the show's not 100% organized because the games weren't over when I made the notes. It's tough for me. It's something we're gonna have to deal with, I think, going forward. But it is nice that these shows are out early for you so you can listen on your morning commute. Okay, so today's sponsor is ZipRecruiter. Thank you so much to ZipRecruiter for sponsoring our show. If you're looking to hire somebody, go to ZipRecruiter.com/strike. So instead of you sorting through all those resumes, let ZipRecruiter do it for you. They find people for your job. They find the right fit. ZipRecruiter.com/strike. I think the big story today, other than the two-star pitchers being terrible, is the news, the injuries. Chris Sale is likely to avoid Tommy John. That's good, but he had a PRP injection. He's done for the rest of the regular season. You can drop Chris Sale. And what are your thoughts on him right now for 2020? Immediate reaction.
Well, the way you put it, hopefully going to avoid Tommy John, I saw it more definitively. He doesn't need Tommy John. And I think that's an important distinction. And I'm not sure which of us is right, but that's...
You're probably right.
You know.
But I just feel like...
Inflammation, look
what happened with David Robertson, right? Sometimes these guys, it doesn't look like a Tommy John situation. They rehab, it doesn't work, and then they have to get surgery. I think it just happened with someone else, right? I haven't seen anything
along the lines of he has a tear in there that he's going to try and rehab instead of having Tommy John surgery. It doesn't sound like that situation. I think it's still being classified as inflammation in the elbow, and that doesn't sound like a very serious injury. So, you know, we're going, rather than having this stretch that I suspected would eventually come where he pulls his ERA back down significantly, we're going to go into next year with him coming off a year where he had like a 4.40 ERA, you know, and that alone is going to make him a tough sell for some people in the, you know, in like the ace range of starting pitchers. And then the fact he's coming off the elbow injury, I think he could be a nice discount next year. I don't know realistically what that means in terms of like round number. But you know, I think there's definitely still first round upside there. And like, if you end up getting him in like round 5, that's great. I mean, I think Clayton Kershaw was even going later than that. So maybe 5 is a little, I don't know. Just to be reasonable, I'm going to say round 5 right now would be great.
I don't think Kershaw was going later than that before he was slated to start the year on the IL.
Right.
But after that, yeah. Kershaw is definitely a reason to be hopeful. The difference is, you know, for Sale. The difference is Kershaw still had good numbers last year. I personally think you and I have been on the same page with Sale, and I'm sure most fantasy baseball analysts have. Like, we've always been very optimistic with him. We've thought he's much better than his numbers. You don't go out and have these unbelievably dominant starts like Chris Sale without being a great pitcher, you know? So the ERA doesn't really concern me. The fact that he has broken down 2 straight seasons concerns me a lot. And, yeah. you know, that is why I still would take him in the first five rounds as of right now, for sure. Yeah. But that's why I can't take him in the first two and a half rounds, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, so beyond who? Scherzer, Cole, DeGrom.
Wait, pause. I have to tell you my bold prediction before you spoil it in this discussion.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a bold prediction for 2020. Mike Clevinger is going to win the American League Cy Young.
Whoa! Save that for March, Adam. Earmark this for later.
He's so good. He's so good. He has 13 strikeouts per nine. He gets ground balls. He's throwing 97 miles per hour. His velocity up from last year. All the things we've known. But since he's been hurt, we haven't seen a full season of truly breaking out for Mike Clevinger. But Mike Clevinger is the best Indians pitcher. Move over the Biebs. Clevinger's going to win the Cy Young, and I would take him ahead of Chris Sale.
My inclination right now is to agree that he'll go ahead of Chris Sale. So I would assume Scherzer, Cole, DeGrom, Shane Bieber, Justin Verlander, Walker Buehler. Let's throw Mike Clevinger in there. And Clayton Kershaw. I assume they will all go ahead of Chris Sale next year. So we're talking eight pitchers. But beyond that, I'm not sure who definitively does. Strasburg, Corbin, Greinke.
I think Flaherty will have a case based on the way he closes the season.
Well, not compared to those guys. You're ready to move Flaherty ahead of
I think Strasburg. People will be. I think they will be looking at a young up-and-comer who found his footing in the second half of the year. I think Severino might have a case depending on what he does. But none of them are definitively going ahead of Chris Sale. Ryu, how about Hyunjin Ryu?
Lost season. I mean, that he's going to be behind like Luis Castillo.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm not so sure about that, but you know, it depends. It depends how he does the rest of the season. Comes out throwing 98 miles per hour, looking great. How about Hyunjin Ryu?
I would take Sale over him.
Okay.
Like it's Ryu's not a young man, and
neither Sale
has extensive injury. Well, he's older than Sale, and has more extensive injury history than Sale, and not a track record of, you know, well, I guess he had part of last year too, right, where he was this good. So it's not totally a isolated event, but it's just a portion of one season. And yeah, I mean, Ryu's going to be on a lot of bust lists, I think, next year, and it may not be totally deserved, but he's going to go later than Sale.
Aaron Nola, last guy I want to debate, Aaron Nola or Chris Sale?
I would take Sale as things stand now, but you know, Nola's been on fire lately, and if he stays on fire through all of September, maybe the overall numbers look good enough that you could make a case for him ahead of Sale.
Okay. You know, it would be a hot take. Chris Paddock will be better than Chris Sale next year.
Yeah, that's just reckless, Adam. Come on.
All right, so what else we got? Corey Kluber is going to be shut down for 2 weeks due to abdominal tightness. Yoan Moncada expected back on Thursday. Are you upset about Chris Sale? You bummed?
I am. Every time we've been excited about these rehabbing pitchers who've been away for months, it seems like this happens where it's not even that they have problems with, like, they hurt something else. You know, this has happened to Kluber. It happened to Glass now, right? It happened to Jesus Luzardo. Like, it's really...
I think it happened to Severino, didn't it?
Yeah, you're right. It happened to Severino, yeah.
Yeah, may have been related, but yeah, it was like it went from arm to lat or something like that. Yeah, it was Stantonian. Yeah, it's annoying. More news. Oh, Oakland's calling up A.J. Puck, who Chris Welsh brought up, the Welsh. But A.J. Puck's going to be a reliever, so you don't have to pick him up.
Yeah.
Nelson Cruz is back. Max Scherzer's going to start on Thursday. The Braves claim Billy Hamilton off waivers. With all their outfield injuries, do you think Billy Hamilton's going to get any semblance of regular playing time with the Braves?
They are. One of the beat writers was actually saying they don't plan to have him hit. Just defense and pinch running, which is probably the best way to use Billy Hamilton.
I think at this point that probably is the best way to hit a Billy Hamilton.
There's another interesting call up though that's supposed to happen tomorrow, Tuesday, and it's Mariners outfielder Jake Fraley, who between two stops this year, 19 home runs, 22 steals, a pretty good K rate. Found some power this year when mostly previously was regarded as kind of a speedy defensive guy. And they have openings in that outfield right now. He should be able to get some consistent looks. I'm not rushing out to add him everywhere, but, you know, there's a speed element there and there's an opportunity. So Jake Fraley, if you're looking to make up ground in steals, he might end up being pretty decent.
All right, good stuff. Tyler Glass now could return before the season's over, but most likely it would be in the bullpen. Adalberto Mondesi is going to begin a rehab assignment on Tuesday. Malik Smith, he got benched over the weekend for just mental errors, and now he's batting seventh.
So, Jake Fraley's coming up.
A weird spot. Yeah, it's a good point, yeah. Malik Smith in the doghouse a little bit. Joe Ross left with a leg injury. He was having a good start. And maybe he was going to be that good two-star pitcher, but Joe Ross leaves with a leg injury. Danny Santana left with hamstring tightness. Carlos Correa left with back discomfort. And Nomar Mazara left with oblique tightness. So some big injuries there that we don't know the severity of.
Correa's had back issues. That was what sidelined him for 2 months earlier this year. So that one's especially scary.
All right, we're going to look at a list that we have not looked at all year. I don't know if we've ever looked at it in the history of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. When we come back, a look at a list. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. Right after this.
True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Scott, are you ready to look at the most benched players in CBS Sports Leagues?
Ooh.
I know, right?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, you sound excited.
Yeah, I'm faking it. Gotta fake it to make it, baby.
Yes, the mixer is back. Okay, the most bench players, I took away the guys who are on IL. Vladimir Guerrero was benched this week. Okay, I get it. Mike Tauchman was benched this week. He really had a terrible week, and we weren't fully buying into it with Tauchman, so I didn't just bench him. I dropped Mike Tauchman, but he's the second most benched player.
Okay. They didn't have good matchups this week.
No, at Oakland, at the Dodgers, that was the other reason. No home games for that lefty. And yet, no.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we've heard the last of Tauchman this year, but not buying into him as hard as Urshela or even like J.D. Davis.
Oh, you love J.D. Davis. Matt Boyd is one of the most benched. He's only started in 53% of leagues this week. Matt Boyd at Minnesota this week. So fantasy owners are like, no, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, I benched him in one of the leagues I own him in. I have a deep pitching staff in that league, so it was easy to do.
Yeah, James Paxton, you're getting this habit, Scott, of ending sentences where it sounds like you're going to keep going, and you're really throwing me off. Also, on Friday's show, you started saying, see, I know I can get in your head. I know I can, because you started saying BB per nine, and then you changed it to walks per nine, like right away, and I was very happy about that.
Yeah, so this is like
when you were talking about Darvish
thing.
Yeah, it was great.
What I've been trying to avoid is the trailing off with the last word, because that's something I've long had a tendency to do.
I see.
So I'm trying to stick the landing, and it's throwing you off.
Yeah, a little bit. Zach Wheeler is home against Atlanta, and James Paxton is at the Dodgers, and they are among the most benched players this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what to say there. I mean, Zach Wheeler had a bad start. I probably wouldn't be benching him. And, I don't know.
Yeah, here's an interesting one. Andrew Benintendi is only 82% started.
Wait, who?
Andrew Benintendi. Oh. Yeah, Benintendi. He's one of the most benched players, top 20. And he's 82% owned. Rhys Hoskins has been cold, and he's 79% owned. I don't know. I have trouble sitting these guys. Now, Benintendi, I think, has only a 5-game week. If I recall, is that right or no?
Oh, man, I don't have the notes here.
Yeah, he does. Philadelphia, 2 games against Philadelphia, 3 games at San Diego, 3 lefties on the schedule. So that actually may have been a good call, although I do think Benintendi's been better against lefties than righties this year, but not in his career. All right, interesting. Interesting that, you know, he's been hitting pretty well, and sitting Rhys Hoskins is risky. I hope that works out for y'all. Well, that's a look at the most bench list. I'm going to read some emails later at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Tom Murphy double-donged today.
Yes.
Yeah, 5 homers in his last 3 games, but it's quite spread out, Scott.
Well, they pretty much only start him against left-handed pitchers, and if you look at the splits, that's justified, although one of his 2 home runs today was against a righty. I don't really think Omar Narvaez's job is in jeopardy. Murphy's fine in like two catcher leagues or daily leagues if you can afford to keep a second catcher around. You know, he's up to 15 home runs now and 179 at-bats, and we knew he had this kind of power. We kept begging the Rockies to call him up for years, and they won it. So glad somebody's benefiting from his abilities finally.
Yeah, I'm glad that he was able to get out of that park in Colorado and go to Seattle.
Doesn't matter. He's park proof.
Yeah, I guess so. By the way, Benintendi OPS, very similar versus lefties and righties this year, which is an encouraging sign. Those were the only double dongs tonight. We did have Team Name Tuesday. It's Team Name Tuesday. People are still into it. Aristides Development.
Oh, okay.
That's
I like
good.
It.
Yeah. Can I get a witness? That you stole that from me. I've been saying that.
If you want to go in the Wayback Machine, the original Mark Canna team name was an Al Melchior classic. Can I get a what?
Oh, really? I stole it from Al?
Yeah.
Didn't even realize it. Wow. Cleave it to Beaver. Like Clevenger. Like Cleave it to Beaver, I guess. Okay. Alka-Smeltzer?
I like that one.
Hi ho, Rosario, Buck Farmer in the Snell. I think we've had something very similar to that, but I enjoy singing it.
The brand name ones get to me, and like food name ones. Like Chris is all about the song titles. I just like, you know,
food names.
Yeah.
Hitters that I wanted to focus on today included Francisco Mejia, but the first guy I wanted to talk about was Adam Eaton. He homered again. By the way, the Nationals are a vicious matchup right now. Do not start fringy pitchers against the Nationals. I think they won 13-0. So Adam Eaton going into today's game was the number 22 outfielder in points leagues and number 34 in Roto. 34 in Roto is not so good, but he's just been on a power binge lately. He homered again. He's up to 10 home runs, 13 steals, 20 doubles, and 7 triples. And it's been about a month now of Adam Eaton being, I don't know, like, not quite elite, but must start. So I'll look up where he's been over the last 28 days. But if you want to talk about Adam Eaton, it's been terrific.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, his numbers are going to look like a good Adam Eaton season, which we haven't really seen from him yet in Washington because he kept getting hurt. And I think it's reasonable to ask if, you know, because the last time we saw a good Adam Eaton this season, it was really before the home run explosion. So how valuable is it now? I mean, it's valuable enough that you can use him, certainly. He's not going to be this hot forever, and then you may want to look, you know, he may end up becoming a streamer type for you in like a three outfielder league where you look at like the Mike Tauchman matchups or whatever. But, you know, right now he's proven to be plenty usable still.
Over the last 28 days going into today when Eaton homered, going into Monday when he homered, number 5 outfielder in points leagues, number 9 in Roto. So
over how long?
28 days.
Very good.
The numbers for Eaton there, 311 batting average, 409 on base, and a 589 slugging percentage with 4 homers, 7 doubles, and 3 triples, and 5 steals. I mean, that's really encouraging. 5 steals in 28 days.
Yeah, though 5 games ago, he had 0 home runs during that stretch. I wonder where he would have ranked then.
Interesting.
Regardless, it's hot right now.
All right, that's pretty much it for the hitters for me today. The rotation, Trevor Bauer was great. I'll tell you one that really surprised me, Kyle Gibson. And I feel bad about this because I recommended him highly for the 2-start week. I thought I had him figured out. Basically, sit him against the toughest teams. But other than that, you start Kyle Gibson. And he struggled against the White Sox. He gave up 5 runs in 6 2/3. He gave up 4 runs in the 3rd inning. And then I think he gave up another in the 7th. So it was almost like he mostly pitched well, but one big inning doomed Kyle Gibson. I still will have no issues starting him against Detroit this weekend, but it's been 3 bad starts in a row now for Gibson.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think Kyle Gibson and Dylan Bundy are the exceptions to the rule that an elite swinging strike rate will ultimately yield elite results. It's a very consistent metric, I feel like, in terms of who ranks at the top with the high swinging strike rate. But those two years in a row now have ranked among like the top 20 guys, and they've been not that good. They've been usable, but they haven't been very good.
Well, Gibson's been much better than Bundy, though.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help that Bundy obviously has no chance of winning games, but you're right. I mean, Gibson's been a little higher, better than usable, I would say, but he hasn't been what the swinging strikes would suggest he should be.
And Marco Gonzalez, he's not going to get a ton of swinging strikes, but he was okay at Tampa Bay. 5 innings, 3 runs, 5 strikeouts, 2 home runs allowed at Tampa Bay. Marco Gonzalez got the win, improves to 13-10 with a 4.30 ERA. And in his previous 11 starts, he had a 3.65 earned run average. And he gets Toronto this weekend, possibly without Vlad. We'll see. So, yeah, Marco Gonzalez, Kyle Gibson. Do you have a strong preference between those two?
Oh, definitely Gibson. I mean, I haven't soured on him that much. And Marco Gonzalez, I'm amazed he's pulled it off as long as he has. I mean, it's kind of feeling like a Mike Fiers situation. He's a little better than Mike Fiers, I think, and hasn't been quite as good as Mike Fiers, if that's making sense. But they both are in need of some correction here.
All right, the fringy starting pitchers, we should have mentioned Dakota Hudson, 75% owned, 6 2/3 scoreless innings, 4 walks, 7 strikeouts against Milwaukee. The 3 starts before that, he allowed 10 earned runs in 11 2/3. Dakota Hudson will get Colorado this weekend. Zach Davies was not good. Dylan Peters was terrible. Ivan Nova was not good. And Kobe Allard was terrible. The only one, we haven't talked about Davies, but we never liked Davies.
No.
How do you feel about Dakota Hudson? He's actually the most owned of this group at 75%.
Yeah, so the stretch where I decided Dakota Hudson might be worth using as a SPARP in a head-to-head points league where he had been racking up quality starts with a terrible whip, but the best ground ball rate in baseball, so you know he can survive a high whip because he's not giving up home runs. That was the stretch where he started not getting quality starts. He had 3 straight starts with less than 5 innings, much less 6. But now 2-6 shutout efforts in a row. No hits in this one. I mean, I guess he's back on track. I think he's only usable in points leagues. And, you know, even then he probably needs to be making 2 starts. But he has one really good skill that particularly in this environment where home runs are just sabotaging everybody, that's not something you have to worry about so much with him.
That is Dakota Hudson, and those are your fringy starting pitchers. Taking another look at the in-progress scoreboard. Oh, wait, I forgot about deep leagues. And actually, two hitters that are pretty interesting, Scott. A 12% owned Austin Nola, who has a 6-game hitting streak and a home run in 3 straight games. He was having a pretty quiet August before this 3 straight games with a home run, but that's Austin Nola of the Mariners. And Travis DeMeritt, who is now batting .297 with 2 homers and 3 steals in 18 games. He's 8% owned. Do either Austin Nola or Travis DeMeritt have mixed league appeal to you?
Deep, deep appeal. I don't really have a lot of confidence in Austin Nola. I just don't. You know, he's a 29-year-old who got passed over for this long, and you know the xBA is 240. It's not like the strikeout rate is especially low, or any of the batted ball tendencies point to him having to him being a high batting average guy. So I'm not saying he can't carve out a role for himself as a platoon player, but I don't have a lot of confidence in him sustaining anywhere close to this level of performance. DeMeritt strikes out way too much, but if he can run like he has done a little in the majors so far, 3 stolen bases, he's playing every single day for the Tigers. We know he has power. That was the one consistent thing he did consistently in the minor leagues, was hit home runs. I think he could be useful in a low-end sort of way. You know, maybe like that Ryan Ludwig tier of outfielders. DeMeritt could be a part of that. But I'm not seeing – I don't feel like there's huge upside here just because, you know, the strikeout rate's going to be terrible.
All right, we're going to take one final break on Fantasy Baseball today. Then we'll look at the in-progress scoreboard, and we will read some of your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com.
Did I say Ryan Ludwig?
I don't know.
Did I say Ryan Ludwig?
I was reading injury updates, and I'm just losing it right now.
I said Ryan Ludwig. That would have had to have been the strangest experience.
I wasn't. I can't listen. I have no attention span. I am just
like a decade ago. We were talking about Ryan Ludwig.
Mm, yeah, I remember Ryan Ludwig. Sure,
Randall Grichik. That's what I meant to say. Randall Grichik.
Oh man! All right, we'll be right back.
Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property, it's the location and neighborhood. Homes.com offers in-depth neighborhood guides with detailed video overviews, comprehensive narratives, and unbiased information from a multitude of sources. You thought we'd go in-depth with player analysis on fantasy baseball today? You haven't seen anything yet. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. When looking at local schools, they offer test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In progress. Don't know what's going to happen in the ninth inning, but I assume Archie Bradley will get the save chance. It's tie game in the eighth. Never mind. It's now 2-2. Colorado has tied it up. And I think it was off Chafin. So, yeah. Don't know what's going to happen there. But we are looking at that game. It's 2-2, and not too many interesting things have happened in the Rockies Diamondbacks game. 7-7 in the 10th now. Angels and Rangers, as Hansel Robles got out of a 2-on jam in the bottom of the 9th to send it to extras. Jose Leclerc pitched the top of the ninth at home, as a closer would do.
Walked three.
He walked three. He sure did, but he did not give up a run.
Way to go, Leclerc.
Hunter Pence has been picking it up a little bit lately, and now that Mazar is out, you might get more consistent playing time from Pence. He is 59% owned. He's someone to keep an eye on. You might get more consistent playing time from Delino DeShields, who stole two bases today and has 18 of them, and that's pretty much all he's going to give you, but he does have 18 of them.
Leave it to Adam to turn to Delino DeShields to fill a void.
And I mentioned that Luis Arraez started led off for the Twins. Max Kepler out with an injury today. I feel like Kepler hasn't been batting leadoff, though. I feel like the things have changed there, and he's been like batting more in the middle of the order. Let me see if I'm crazy. I'm probably crazy, right? Kepler. Yeah, no, okay, he doesn't bat leadoff against lefties. Against righties, he does. All right, never mind. Scratch that. Let's read some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Carl L. wants to know if it's time to drop Chris Paddock for Chris Bassett in a points league.
I have no faith in Bassett at all. He's one of those pitchers who I'm waiting for just to all fall apart. So while I don't think dropping Chris Paddock is unthinkable at this point, he's obviously has little time left and hasn't been especially reliable lately anyway. I don't think Bassett's who I'd do it for.
From Derek, who's a better stash, Sean Manaea or Johnny Cueto?
Manaea or Cueto? Manaea's closer. Manaea's closer, but he's been pitching well, like getting a lot of strikeouts, doing exactly what you want to see statistically, and yet the velocity readings are like high 80s on the fastball. You know, maybe hitting 91 on occasion.
That's not good.
So that's wherever I have a free IL spot, I've been stashing him, but I've started to do that with Cueto too. I'm going to say Manaea just because he's closer, but you may be dropping him pretty soon, kind of like a Danny Salazar situation. You drop him soon thereafter.
From Trevor, I have not heard anyone really talk about Jose Ozuna. How would you compare Jose Ozuna versus Ty France, Ian Happ, Garrett Cooper, Demerit, and Josh Rojas?
Not favorably. He's gotten very little playing time this year, right? Has something changed recently?
I don't think so.
He's been kind of on and off the Pirates for 3 years now, and this is the first year he's been productive in any way. It's not like he has a great history of hitting for power in the minors. I'm going to have to take a closer look at that because he's not been on my radar at all. And for good reason. I mean, he doesn't play that much. So, I'll have to look into that more.
No, but the Pirates outfielder that is pretty owned, but doesn't get enough credit is Brian Reynolds. He really probably should be like 80-something% owned, and I don't think he is.
Yeah, no, he needs to be. I've finally given in on him. He's mostly legit. I mean, there should be some batting average regression there, but he profiles as like a 300 hitter anyway. So he's good. And he's playing every day. You know, before he was losing some playing time when Dickerson was there. Not the case anymore.
From Billy, would you trade Jose Ramirez and a 7th round pick next year in a keeper league for Hyunjin Ryu? Ramirez cannot be kept, and Ryu can be kept for 2 more years. I'm on the playoff bubble. If I make it, I have little chance of winning 6x6 head-to-head categories league. So he's kind of playing for next year, giving up Jose Ramirez, who he's not going to be able to keep, and a 7th round pick for Hyunjin Ryu, who can be kept for 2 more years.
I mean, I'd be curious to know what a 7th round pick translates to in this keeper league, how many players are being kept, so what it actually is. But, you know, I assume at least 3 are being kept. So we're talking about more like a 10th round pick.
I would do it if you're going to keep Ryu. Why not? Yeah, get something for Ramirez.
I
mean,
I don't have a lot of faith in Ryu repeating Cy Young caliber numbers next year, but I don't feel like the cost is that great. I mean, even if you're wanting to compete for this year, Ryu's obviously going to help.
Sure, sure. Yeah. All right, from Andrew. Dear Peter, Buster, Tim, and Jason. That would be the Oh, those are ESPN writers, or at least at some point. Peter Gammons, Buster Olney, Tim Kirchen, and Jason Stark.
Though misspelled, Stark is.
Right. He's got a Y in there, right?
Yeah. Sneaky. I don't know why we're giving these guys.
Oh, come on.
Come on, man.
No, they're great. You know what? Those guys, when I was in high school, I'm sure you're the same way. Those were the guys that got me really into baseball. I used to read the ESPN.com all the time. Those guys were great.
Yeah, honestly, Jason Stark is the most influential sports writer for me. So
really?
Yeah, he is. His particular writing style was one that I kind of started adapting things he did.
Cool.
Just
that's
in, like,
good
history
to know.
Papers and stuff in college. And you know, obviously it's my growth as a writer has gone from there. But I read him very closely in college because I really liked his voice.
I don't know if I had someone like that for me. A big influence. Like Homer Simpson. All right, this is from Andrew. The question is, with Chris Sale, I've been going back and forth on if I should drop him or keep him for 2020. It's a 12-team head-to-head keeper league, and you keep four. So the options are Chris Sale for 25, Vlad for one, Trout for 49, Bueller for one, Blackman for 21, Luis Castillo for 16, and Will Smith for one.
Keep four,
He is not one of my four keepers. Trout for 49, I would do.
Yeah. Who is not one of your four keepers?
Sale.
Oh, a 25?
It's not such a bad value, but Vlad for one, Bueller for one, 100% with those guys, and then I'd probably keep either Will Smith for 16 or Castillo for 16 or Blackman for 21. Sale might be my least favorite value on this list.
And honestly, Will Smith at one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great.
I think he's going to be in the discussion. I mean, barring, a really poor finish, I think he's going to be in the discussion number one next year at catcher. Like, I don't think he will be number one, but I think he'll be part of that tier where we're like,
I'm sorry. I thought that was the reliever.
Oh.
It might be.
It could be either one.
Yeah. I would
be more excited about the catcher, I think, than the reliever, just because, not because Will Smith, the reliever, isn't good, but because, with those other options, I wouldn't want to keep a closer with all the, just how unreliable that role is from year to year, much less.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know what the budget is, but Sale at 25 when Trout is 49 and Castillo is 16 and Blackman is 21. Like, Sale at 25 is a perfectly reasonable value, but you have four better options on there. You don't need to keep
right.
Chris Sale.
Right. Bueller, Vlad, and Castillo at 16. Bueller and Vlad one each, I think, are obvious. Trout at 49, I just have a hard time giving up Trout when he's anywhere close to reasonable value. So I think he'd be my fourth.
All right, we're out of here. Thank you, Scott. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I actually feel better than I did earlier, so this was therapeutic. Thank you, everybody. And I'm sorry if it wasn't really that exciting of a day, but I don't think we left anything out. We will talk to you tomorrow. The Welsh will be back on hosting this show with Scott and maybe me. We'll see if I'm popping in. We'll talk to you then. See you later, everybody.